Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Focus on the Upstate, a program dedicated to informing you about organizations that serve our community and how you can get involved with them. Here's your host, Chris Evans.
Good morning and welcome to Focus on the Upstate. My name is Chris Evans. Today, my guests are Kay Roper, the Executive Director of the Cancer Survivors Park Alliance. You've been here before, Kay.
Welcome back, Chris. Thank you. I always love being here.
Well, and I always love having you. And you have brought with you Robert Tiffin. Whose title, in this instance, is Celebrity Chef. Good morning, Robert.
Good morning, Chris. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking. And we're going to talk about why you are a celebrity chef and why you're sitting in the studio today with Kay Roper. But I want to make sure that everybody listening remembers the Cancer Survivors Park Alliance, remembers the Cancer Survivors Park in particular. And so I'm going to start with a question that I normally start with, which is, what do you do and who do you do it for, Kay?
It's a loaded question, Chris.
I know, but I think you can handle it.
Thank you. Well, no, I am the executive director.
Right.
But we have a vision at the Cancer Survivors Park Alliance to change the way we live with cancer. And we want to do that in many ways. But the very first project we did was to build the Cancer Survivors Park.
Which is now open.
It is open. It is open.
Been open for
about six and a half months now. Okay. Well, more than it was June of 2018. Okay. So we were privileged to have a grand opening, and it was just the beginning, really. A lot of people say, you're done. And I'm like, we're not done.
No.
It's the beginning.
Yes.
Because the park is the venue, and that is where we want to start changing that vision of how we live with cancer, because we all live with cancer in one way or another.
Yeah.
You either know somebody who has had cancer, or you may be a patient yourself. You may be a wife, a spouse, a friend, a child. And even when you lose someone to cancer, which we ultimately don't want to do, a whole park is about kicking cancer to the curb. But you remain with that memory, and we celebrate that person did survive. So the park is a beautiful 6.8 acres, nestled between Cleveland Street and Church Street, downtown Greenville, right on the Swamp Rabbit Trail. But people can go and are experiencing its beauty right now.
Good.
But what we want to do is bring programs of survivorship and change, and we want to educate. Enhance and empower.
Yeah.
I'll get that mission in. All of those who have been touched by cancer. So really a lot of fun stuff going on. And we've had about 40 programs already.
Oh, wow.
Of survivorship in the park.
Good. Glad to hear it. Now, and one of the things I've always loved about the Cancer Survivors Park Alliance is the idea of survivorship.
Mm-hmm.
Because you hear about people surviving cancer, you know, that they've had cancer and they've gone through the treatment and they've beaten it and now they're cancer free and they have survived cancer. But then you also talked about the ones who are lost and the idea of the people who are surviving them. You know, you read an obituary or something and it says this person survived by their children and their grandchildren. And it's all of the people that are living on after they've passed. And I love that wordplay there.
Me too. Well, Chris, thank you. That the celebration of life can be in all kinds of points along life. And that is one of those areas. We see so many people come on the trail and the stories. They'll come into we have a Center for Hope and Healing that is a 1,500 square foot building right there on the trail. And people come in and will ask about maybe their father who passed away or their daughter who's just been diagnosed. And we just get so many stories along the trail. But that celebration of life can be interpreted in so many ways. And we'll see families looking at plaques. We have plaques on the boardwalk.
Yeah.
And a lot of people will come and visit plaques if they've lost somebody because they don't want to visit the gravesite.
Right.
But they'll visit that their person lived and that their loved one was there. Or they've kicked it and they bring them right there and say, Mom, look at that. That's your plaque.
That's your, yeah.
And so the stories just keep on going. And we, in the future, hope to have a way to capture all those stories.
Well, and I love the story that you tell about how this all got started. You know, I remember you coming in and telling the story about when the boardwalk was finished and how you got started with the Cancer Survivors Park Alliance. Tell the germinating idea for this?
Well, the original germinating idea was really cool. 20 years ago, this started as a high school seniors project. And it was a Christ Church Episcopal school, local high school
there.
Here in town. You went there?
Yeah.
I knew that. And you know that thesis you have to do at the end of your senior year?
Indeed.
Very intense. And a girl named Kimberly Gluck-Wallner, her dad was Larry Gluck, or is Larry Gluck, mm-hmm. who's the medical director of the Cancer Institute of Prisma Health now. And she had seen cancer growing up her entire life. And so this truly started, it germinated as a high school senior project.
Wow.
20 years ago. 1999 was our incorporation. And so fast forward 20 years later, and here we have this beautiful park. But she just wanted to... She just wanted a small garden, a healing garden. And she, I understand, made an A on the project. Well done.
Good for her.
She did graduate and go on and has her a lovely family of her own. But her mother took on the project. And they established, actually, Kimberly, as a senior in high school, established a 501c3. She had to get a board of directors. They had meetings. It was very, you know, parliamentary procedure. They did it correctly. And then we are under that same 501c3 now. And many years and morphings later, but and it actually started truly as a 10 by 10 park, and it's now a 6-point acre park. This is our third site.
Wow.
We looked at lots of different locations. God's hand, I think, has been all in this. And my part, interestingly, came up about 6 years ago. And that is when I was currently in marketing mm-hmm. for a cancer institute. It was kind of interesting. And we lost my little sister. It was very sad. She was 38, and she had a 3-year-old little girl and 8-year-old little boy and a husband who adored her. And we come from a medical family and mm-hmm. Lots of physicians, and did not really know how to deal with it. Very uncomfortable, very sad, very mad.
Yeah.
You know, you go through all of those emotions. And we didn't see her as a survivor. And then with the park message that I know you love and I love too, that you, even when you lose someone, you celebrate that they lived and you survive. They were a survivor. And so for her children, who are now 10 and 18, we get to tell lots of fun stories. They'll call and ask, Sydney's my niece's name, and she'll say, Aunt Kay, tell me about my mom. You know, what kind of dogs did she like? what food did she eat? Now, she's getting older now. She's 13.
Sure.
I'm getting a little more fearful of the questions.
Right.
Her daddy might have to start answering. But it was truly a God-led moment for me to be at this park.
I imagine. Now, you mentioned the park is open. We have said the park is open for 6 to 8 months now, mm-hmm. and that you've already had 40-some-odd programs in the park so far. Off the top of your head, what are some that you remember?
Oh, we have some fun things. Laughter with yoga, nutrition for people who don't really like food. We have a new thing coming up called Food as Medicine.
Okay, yeah. I've heard that before.
Real purposeful education. We've had music therapy. I mean, how cool to see cancer survivors in our center bonging. Oh, not bonging is not a word. Banging away on bongos. Maybe that's what I'm trying to say. But we've had music therapy. That's kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And something fun about that, Chris, is that the cancer patients that are in the center, if you've been down there, the center is just all wall-to-wall glass that looks out on the trail. They love the fact that people going along the trail see them in there, and they don't see them as cancer patients.
Yeah.
And they're like, we're survivors, and we're here, we're kicking cancer, we're doing something about it. They might be with their family, they might not, but we've just had some fun things going on down there.
Good. I know another thing that you had happen recently is, I guess, an annual event for you guys, Stick It to Cancer.
Yes.
Over at the Well. How did that go?
It was great with the Greenville Swamp Rabbits, great partners. It went well. Lots of people. That was a clear to almost a sold-out crowd, but they had all kinds of partnerships and collaborations. All the agencies in Greenville that do things to support cancer and survivorship were there. We were among them, and beautiful jerseys that they'd had designed for cancer awareness. As you know, there are 26 colors of cancer. A lot of people know there's pink, and some people might know there's teal for ovarian. But their designer at the Swamp Rabbit team came up with this real colorful jersey that had lots of colors of cancer.
Wow.
And so all the players wore that.
Oh, that's cool.
And those games are quite interesting, and they were kicking cancer that night.
Good.
with that puck.
Well, and the next thing that you've got coming up is March 8th.
Yes, around the corner.
Which is CHOP Cancer, and this is another annual event that you guys – how long have you been doing this?
This is the fourth one.
Fourth.
Yeah, time flies.
And it gets bigger every year, doesn't it?
It does. It does. We actually, last year, Chris, had to bring it down. The first year it was like – 600 people. Second year, 700 people.
Uh-huh.
And it got bigger and bigger. And we found that we wanted to make sure the experience was just quality.
Sure.
Sometimes you get too big and it's not always better. So last year we capped it off at 500, which we've done again this year.
Okay.
The experience was better. We had more participation. We made more money.
Mm-hmm.
And people overall, I think, enjoyed it.
Good, so, good.
But we're really excited.
And that's what Robert is here
yes.
for. Robert Tiffin is one of the celebrity chefs for Chopped Cancer. Tell us what you expect Chopped Cancer to be like. Have you been before?
I have never been.
You've never been?
No, and I'm actually glad to hear that it's a little bit smaller because it gives it that up close
okay.
and personal feel.
Yes.
You know, I operate well at 500 people. 700, I get a little wary.
Okay.
So I'm looking forward to it.
Well, good. Yeah, that's what makes the difference, 200 people. Huh?
Exactly.
Okay.
And if the actual event is anything like our two practices that we've had as celebrity chefs so far, it's going to be a great night.
Oh, you got to tell me about that. How did practice go?
All right. So from the first night to the third night, we've actually been now given the food to practice with.
Okay.
So the good news is we have three chefs that are fabulous that interact with us to show us, why don't you try this, from the plating to the color of, to the, okay, you can't really serve that because it's way too salty.
Right.
So we as chefs, and I'm making air quotes that nobody else can see,
sure.
Are having fun with it, but they're helping us actually deliver quality, delicious food.
Gotcha. And we should make sure that we actually say what this is. The event itself, what do you guys do on the night, Kay?
It is a culinary competition. We have
okay.
18 chefs like Robert who come and actually compete on the stage. We have judges who are professional chefs. We have MCs who will be coordinating the event. But there will be three different sets where the 18 chefs are divided into three teams of six.
Mm-hmm.
Each team of six has partners that two will cook the entree, two will cook the appetizer, and two will cook the dessert.
Okay.
And they get points for using cancer-fighting foods in their recipes.
Ooh.
They get extra points for their presentation to the judge. There are all kinds of neat things and delicious. I've been watching and a little few tasting even of these recipes. But they actually cook during the night, and there's fundraising going on during
right.
the night. The chefs have people have the opportunity to vote for their chefs. It's
okay.
a lot like Dancing with the Stars, if you're
gotcha.
Familiar with that competition. And you can vote for your chefs, $10 a vote. You can vote, I have $100 a vote. Robert would probably say more. they all want to win, and they are competitive. It's been funny.
I see.
But so there's actually cooking on stage. There's interaction with the crowd. The people who go do not actually get the same meal,
okay.
but they will have a delicious meal.
Gotcha.
And surprise, this year, the dessert will be a past winning recipe of one of the past 3 years with cancer fighting food. So
dessert. I think I remember you talking about that mm-hmm. one of the times that you were here previously in advance of Chopped Cancer. And I remember, who was it? It was somebody, you had another celebrity chef on.
It might have been Terry Youngblood.
Terry Youngblood.
Yes, the chef.
That's right.
That's who it was.
And she was talking about the, you know, what they were going to make. And it sounded really good. And that's one of the interesting things. You mentioned earlier, food as medicine.
Yes.
You know, and that's one of the programs that you have down in the park. And I've heard of this idea that you know, you can, and I happen to know that cancer patients typically are put on a very strict diet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to make sure that they're getting the nutrients they need, and because their treatment sometimes doesn't allow to eat them to eat normal food,
or they can't taste it,
or they
I've
can't
heard
taste
that.
It, yeah,
and so they don't. Yeah, lots of things.
So the idea, you know, of food as medicine, and then also connecting it with Chopped Cancer, that just seems like a fantastic idea.
And
do you have planned?
Oh.
Well, we played up to that, and the cool part about our group is that we are a bit of an international flair. So I'm a Canadian boy.
Okay.
Born and raised.
It's okay. We won't hold it against you.
Well, so when you were talking about stick it to cancer and hockey, I sat up in my chair.
I see.
We have one, our hematologist and oncologist. She's from Poland. I'm from Canada. We've got somebody from Massachusetts. Another world, but not exactly. So anyway, we got to talking about exactly that. And one of our teammates has lost somebody to cancer.
Sure.
So we talked about the eating, what can we do? And we thought about the comfort food because, yes, there's a mental aspect
yeah.
to a survivorship. So we thought, how do we blend cancer-fighting foods with comfort foods? So playing out to Kay's description, I'm on the dessert team, and we're actually coming up with a peach cobbler.
Oh, wow.
Because the gentleman that is my partner in this for the desserts, he said that his partner could eat peach cobbler and loved it. But we're making it with an almond flour.
Okay.
So then we led to my favorite dessert of all time, which is vanilla ice cream,
yeah.
maple syrup, and salted peanuts. Peanuts
that sounds
are not,
Canadian.
Peanuts are not cancer friendly, but pecans are.
Okay.
So we've substituted pecans.
Gotcha.
So we're playing it out that way. So there's a comfort food flair through it, but then all cancer fighting foods, because again, it's a competition and we want the extra points.
Very clever. Very clever. Tell us about your connection to cancer, Oh, Robert.
Absolutely. So for the last 9 years, I've been involved in St. Baldrick's, which is a volunteer-driven foundation, and our focus is to drive the research to end childhood cancers. Because the way I put it, it's one thing to have cancer, but when you're a kid and you're just starting your life, yeah. it's completely unfair. So the way I got started is for the last 11 years, St. Baldrick's has been here in the upstate. And for the last nine, we've been at the Weiss Pavilion. The Weiss Pavilion is now under construction to turn into a beautiful venue for next year.
Yes.
So we were homeless. So with my affiliation with the Bylaw Children's Cancer Center, they said, well, why don't you talk to Kay over at the Cancer Survivors Park? I met Kay, walked down to have our first meeting with Diane Gluck, who's the director of the center, and the two of them looked at each other and said, he'd be perfect. And I'm in the back of my mind going, for what?
Perfect for what?
And that's when I was asked to be a chef to tie in what I can bring with St. Baldrick's. So St. Baldrick's as a foundation, we are another fundraiser, and we raise the money and then support the children that have lost their hair in their personal fights. We get our head shaved.
Okay.
So on or around St. Patrick's Day every year here, not, again, 11 years in the upstate, last year we shaved 103 people's heads, men, women, and children, and raised about $70,000, all towards St. Baldrick's.
Wow, that's fantastic.
And this year it's going to be at the Center for Hope and Healing in the Cancer Survivors Park.
In the park.
And that's,
correct.
I just love that. And so when I met Robert and he was coming to look at the center to see if we could use it as a venue, which it's turned out we can, and I snagged him for chop. But it's just a neat, that's what the park does. We connect people. You know, yeah. we want to connect people with resources, with helping, with giving back. And so that was just fortuitous that Robert came down that day. He might say differently after the competition, but I think you're having fun.
Well, it's a ride so far.
Well, and it sounds like she was very effective in roping you into it. Her name is Roper, you know.
Oh, yes.
I love it. Do you know, I just thought of something else, too, when Robert was talking about the children, because this is a neat connection. This year, something new. Yeah. With CHOP Cancer is we've been trying to get children involved. And if you go to our website, I guess people can go to chopcancerupstate.com. And under the crew section, you can see three of the cutest children and a young adult, actually, two young children and a young adult who are with Clements Kindness Fund, which is an organization that does another good job of bringing mm-hmm. pediatric mm-hmm. cancer awareness. And they actually deliver resources to families that need help with pediatric cancer children or children going through cancer. So we have three young chefs who are chef ambassadors. We weren't ready to tackle having 18 children chefs alongside 18 adult chefs. Well, although that might be coming. I can see kids
adult
CHOP
is
cancer.
A loose term.
No, that is true. They're having so much fun. Mm-hmm. But the kids are precious. And so their part is to be part of the night. They wanted to talk about it. They wanted to share that they've had cancer and that they're beating it. And some of them, actually, to your point, Lil Miley has recently lost her hair due to chemo, but just as cute as a bug. And they're going to be on the stage that night, maybe adding a little secret ingredient. We're not sure what that is.
Well, when we got to meet our ambassador, and for our team particularly, it was Clara. And she's about 12 years old, an eighth grader here in Greenville. And talking to her, I said, we don't really operate by rules. It's guidelines. I said, so do you want to help? She's like, am I allowed to? Yep. So she rolled up her sleeves, put her gloves on, and she helped in the first preparation of one of the part of our appetizer is a blue sea smoothie.
Okay.
So high antioxidants, a little bit of protein powder. So she was helping me cull the strawberries and then prepare the blueberries for that. So she was all in and very excited to get participating in our team.
That's very cool.
Yes. And Claire's been around a long time. She actually, and Robert, I don't know, she probably told you this, but mm-hmm. 6 years ago, at 10 years old, well, no, she's a little younger than that, I guess, Claire became our spokesperson. And her mom was very involved. And her mom, she was diagnosed at 4 months old with leukemia. But now she is seen as cancer-free. So what a great
example.
She's
a survivor.
She is a survivor.
And these are the stories that are fabulous. So if I jump back to how did I get involved with St. Baldrick's.
Absolutely.
So two children, both very healthy, thank goodness. And our daughter, well, both of them played soccer. But our daughter was invited to one of her teammates' soccer birthday parties. I'm the dad. I like cake. So I volunteered to go to all of these parties. And we went there. And the girl that was having the birthday took the whole girls' soccer team out in the backyard. And I knew that the host girl, she had a younger sister that had neuroblastoma, little Natalie.
Right.
So I went into the kitchen. That's where the cake was. And I went in there and I sat down beside Natalie. And she looked at me blankly and goes, Mr. Robbie, I know I've got cancer, but why can't you and I go play like those girls outside?
And you can't think of a reason.
From that point on, I'm like, they are more powerful than we ever hoped to be. Follow the lead. So she is now my honored child for St. Baldrick's. She's in remission now. And it's been awesome. For the number of years I've done St. Baldrick's, I've invited her up on the stage with me as my honor child. I took over the lead organizer for the event 4 years ago, and I said, okay, I've got the microphone now. Will you come up and help me honor the other children? Of course, she's all in, but then when the mic comes on, she quiets down quite a much.
Sure.
Last year in 2018, she shows up. She's a teenager now. Shows up, mirrored sunglasses, the hair. I said, will you talk this year? Oh, yeah. She's all in now.
Okay.
So that's year after year, Natalie is my inspiration to keep going because, again, why can't we go play like them?
You know, it's interesting. And Kay and I have talked about this before, the strength that children show. I mean, you mentioned earlier that it's not fair. It's not fair, you know, when a kid gets cancer. It's not fair, frankly, when anybody gets cancer. But especially for a child, it's the beginning of their life. And yet they handle it so well. Typically,
absolutely.
I mean, with such aplomb that you wouldn't even expect of an adult. It's just amazing because I speculate that it's because they don't really know anything else. This is just how their life is, and they're going to live their life.
The joie de vivre.
Yeah, right? Exactly. The joie de vivre. And they want to go outside and play.
Correct.
That's what they want to do. They want to be a kid. And as much as you can do, that you were talking, Kay, about making connections, as many connections as the Cancer Survivors Park makes between people. I know that you work with a number of organizations. Mm-hmm. Talk about some of the organizations that you help connect people with.
Well, there are 26. We have created something called the Upstate Cancer Network, and probably more than 26 now, but the Upstate Hospitals in Greenville, well, in the Upstate, Prisma Health, Bon Secours St. Francis, Gibbs Cancer Center in Spartanburg, they've all come together to provide programs and be part of this. We have the Cancer Society of Greenville, Clements Kindness, American Cancer Society, Leukemia and Lymphoma, Susan G. Komen. I could just go on and on. Mm-hmm. There's so many groups in this area that do their job well to connect patients with resources, survivors with opportunities. And we want to begin with, in our Center of Hope and Healing and in the park, connecting all of those resources.
The Switzerland, if you will,
yeah.
Of
there
all
you
the
go.
Cancer programs.
You did you hear me say that before?
I
love that. Okay, I love it. Thank you. Boy, we queued up. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Robert, that we want to be the Switzerland of cancer care in the upstate. And when you get that C card, which nobody wants to get,
right.
That people might want to come to the park. They might want to stroll around, feel the hope and healing of nature, which is documented, and then maybe connect them with a resource they might not have been aware of or might not even been able to think of when they first heard that word cancer.
Well, and one of the things that we've talked about before also is the idea that the cancer treatment has changed so much.
Wow.
Just over the last few decades. I remember being young and you see the scene on TV. You know, it's a drama and the guy's sitting in the doctor's office and the doctor comes in and says you have cancer and his face just falls, you know. And it's a devastating diagnosis. But now the doctor comes in and says, you have cancer. And the first question is, all right, what do we do next? And it just the survivorship rates have gone up and up and up. Mm-hmm. They're finding better and better ways to treat everything. It's not the death sentence that it used to be.
That is correct. So true. I mean, they're like over 14 million people diagnosed with cancer in the United States every year. And now the percentages of survivors are going up and up and up, just like you said.
Yeah.
And it's how we treat it. It's the cellular level now, on the genomic level. You know, two people with breast cancer might take two different drugs. There was a story of a girl I knew who had breast cancer and was taking a pancreatic drug, and it worked for her.
Really?
They're just doing lots of different treatments. And how they live. I love what you said. And Robert knows this story. One of the first practices we had, a new chef came in. We had lost a chef at the last minute, and a girl I knew from a long time ago called and said, Kay, I'd like to be a chef. And she said, but there's a little caveat here. And I said, what? She says, I just had surgery, a double mastectomy for breast cancer, and I still have my drains in.
Oh, wow.
And I said, what? And she said, yeah, but I'm coming to the practice tonight. I'm going, what? But it gets better. So I said, okay, Sarah, come on. We would love to have you. Are you sure you want to do this? I'm ready. I'm here. And she's precious. She came. She walks in. Her hematologist oncologist, her cancer physician, was there as one of our physicians as well. And so now they are paired up together. And they will be, I think they're doing the appetizer or something.
They're on my team. They're a force to be reckoned with.
Oh, is that not cool?
So the afternoon before our second practice with the actual food, they had an appointment together. So they came prepared with a list of things they had discussed during the appointment to our second practice. So yet again, the value of the yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Worked out perfectly.
But that
absolutely
was serendipitous. We did not know that.
Yeah.
I mean, she walked in and went, there's Dr. Asha.
Correct.
You know, and I was like, what? Anyway, so there are reasons.
Well, CHOP Cancer, like we said, is coming up Friday, March 8th. From 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. at the Embassy Suites at Verde.
New venue this year, too. Yes.
Yes.
Very excited about that. And people can stay the night if they'd like. Great special rate that evening, I understand.
Very cool. And if people want more information about it, they can go to the website, chopcancerupstate.com. ChopCancerUpstate.com. You can get tickets and things, sign up.
And you can vote for your favorite chefs.
Vote for your favorite chefs.
And, there is only one.
Oh, yeah.
Robert. Chef Robert. That's what I am.
And as always, the CancerSurvivorsPark.com is where you can go to find out more about the park and things going on there. Make donations. Find volunteer opportunities.
Absolutely. You can get a plaque like in honor of it. It's .org, actually,
CancerSurvivorsPark.org.
It's always a little tricky, but lots of fun things that people can participate in.
CancerSurvivorsPark.org. Kay Roper, the executive director for the Cancer Survivors Park Alliance, and Robert Tiffin, celebrity chef for the upcoming Chop Cancer, have been my guests today. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Chris. It's been fabulous.
Well, it's been my pleasure. I'm Chris Evans, and this has been Focus on the Upstate.
You've been listening to Focus on the Upstate with Chris Evans. If you would like more information on today's topic, email Chris at cevans@intercom.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.